This week on Rub and Wonk, we're going to be discussing the government shutdown. We're going to be discussing the release of some more Epstein files. And finally, the Democratic Party electeds are too old and they need to retire.
Yeah, that's good. I think the word you're looking for was gerontocracy.
Gerontocracy. Got it. Okay.
Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Dave Frank.
And Dave is only going to be here for part-time because he is going to hopefully be elected to the Democratic Central Committee of Humboldt County. We'll see what happens.
Good luck there, Dave.
See how that goes. Thank you guys for the positivity.
All right. So we're going to start. Shutdown ended because 8 Democrats, I guess I should just say, I don't know if they caved or just decided to vote that way. It's outraged a lot of Democrats, particularly progressives, but apparently even beyond that, and possibly even independents. Like, what did they do? They're coming off of one of the strongest election wins ever. And then all of a sudden this happens, and it is called into question whether Chuck Schumer is effective, because he couldn't keep it together, or possibly even worse, from a certain perspective, he actually okayed it in back doors, saying, you go ahead and do it, and the rest of us will vote for it, because, you know, 8 is kind of it's coincidental that that's exactly what they needed. So what's behind this? Why did the Democrats give up? And what does it mean for the future? Dave, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, you know, the highest possible level, this settlement is the best of times, it's the worst of times. So if you're one of those 40 plus million people who rely on SNAP, this means that there's some continuity for the holidays and November, December, at least that long. And so beyond that, airports are opening, public workers are going back to work, they're getting paid. So that's the ripple in terms of like people's direct lives. But politically speaking, it's a whole nother ballgame. Worst of times, because what the Democratic Party had purported was, number one, they were trying to exert the limited levers of power that they have available to them, which is to control the ability for the budget to pass. And it's a yes or a no. So the only power they have was no. And they said that they would only go to yes. Speaker Schumer in particular said he would only go to yes if certain conditions were met, which included an extension of those subsidies, the ACA, Affordable Care Act, healthcare subsidies we talked about at length in the past. So what happened? No extension of the subsidies, right? But yes, they passed the budget. So all things being equal, the slur of this was a cave is not a slur. It's a fact. So the two things can be true. There's a positive impact on people's lives. And politically speaking, this is probably a broadside to Schumer as the minority leader in the Senate, and arguably even Speaker Jeffries, although that's a little bit one step removed. So what got agreed to? They agreed to pass this budget, reopen the government, and then they said it would be a continuing resolution through the end of the year, and that they would revisit things in January. And the idea being that in the interim period, there could work out a solution. Chances are there's no solution. No, Republicans haven't shown any willingness to do so. I'll say one last thing here is that it really shows that the power of the ability for Republicans to say, we will accept the pain of the shutdown, and that they will not even agree to meet to discuss the one condition that the Democrats had, which was ACA. So instead, they're saying, we will vote on the ACA at some point. You guys can put anything you want out there. We'll vote on it. We'll vote it down. But at least you're going to get the vote. That's all we're willing to give you. And even Speaker Johnson in the House, he said, we might not even give you a vote in the House. And certainly, I don't think Trump would agree to something that goes against his base or his constituents. So there's a very limited chance anything good will come of the shutdown other than the shutdown being lifted from the political perspective.
It's not there yet. The Congress hasn't voted on it in the House.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, I'm a moderate centrist Democrat, and I've never been more embarrassed to say I'm a Democrat. What a bunch of freaking pussies. They had all the leverage. They took Bucks County, Pennsylvania sheriff. This is a rural red county sheriff. A Democrat beat the incumbent Republican. They took statewide seats in Georgia. Fox News keeps trying to say this was a blue election in blue states. Across the nation, people are not happy with Trump, especially when they cut off their SNAP benefits for food, because Trump would rather be cruel to his own base than bargain in good faith. And do you ever bargain with pathological liars? The Democrats caved. It's embarrassing. Chuck Schumer should go. That's all I'm going to say on that before my blood pressure gets too high.
Right. I would refer everybody to an article by John Judis. John Judis, he's getting up there in age. He used to be kind of more of a radical left winger, and he's kind of moved to the center in recent years. But he says it was a cave, but the 8 Democrats may have actually done the Democrats a favor. He says, for one thing, they could renew the shutdown in January. And in the meantime, they've got a guarantee of SNAP benefits for a year. So SNAP benefits wouldn't be canceled with that if they do this in January. And this also gives the Democrats, unfortunately, the opportunity to hammer Republicans with the healthcare loss of subsidies and the impact it's going to have on millions of people. That's probably why the House may not allow a vote on it, because they got a lot of members who are going to have a real hard time with reelection as it is and don't want to be on record killing people's medical benefits right, or doubling the premium. So that's why they're doing that. But it was even just the way it was done. The way that, they just, on Sunday evening to come out and just make this decision on behalf of the whole caucus. And some of them I can understand, Fetterman is, I think, suffering from a stroke still in terms of his cognition. He's just a different person than he was. I get a few of the other people, but one of the things that is kind of sneaky about this is that none of them are up for re-election in 2026. A couple of them are retiring, for crying out. My mother wonders if they were paid off, if they've got, cush jobs for when they retire. I mean, this is, where my mother's mind goes a lot of time. But the other thing is they seem to be amazed at the outrage. They're shocked that they're getting all these calls from across the country, against them. And Ro Khanna, meanwhile, is saying Chuck Schumer needs to step down.
Yep.
Right.
And most importantly, Eric, you said they may do a shutdown again this coming January 2026. If they do and federal employees lose their paycheck, you have to include Congress and their staff not getting paid. I guarantee if you do that, they'll sit down at the negotiating table.
So 3 things came to mind, Eric, from what you had said, and one of which I alluded to, Matthew, when we first got joined today, that I have to give you props. So collectively, we all sort of knew that after the election results were so successful, that there were strategically limited benefit to the Democrats. Basically, there was already outrage about the ACA. There was already outrage about immigration. People were outraged about food stamps. The electorate was riled up. Turned out, voted, crossed the board wins. And basically, from a strategic perspective, the Democrats really did decide, we're going to take the win here. We're going to stop harming people's lives directly right now, take the foot off the gas. For whatever reason, Schumer and probably the entire leadership, Durbin, right? Dick Durbin voted for this. He was one of the 8. So clearly, the number 2 in the Senate decided, I could be the front person of the heat here, because nationally, we've decided to do this. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. But Matthew, here to your point, think about the travelers. Oh my goodness, 10% of flights are canceled. 20% of flights are canceled.
That's why I didn't fly back home yesterday. I've had to fly back home today.
Yeah, no, it's a nightmare. My partner, Chris, is headed to North Carolina, and she's stuck in Chicago because the flight that she was supposed to have got canceled, and they're trying to it's a nightmare.
So the corollary to the business, I would say sort of business class, whatever that is, who do the bulk of the traveling being impacted and the costs associated, the airline industry itself was impacted to the extent that if you really cancel that many flights, suddenly their business model breaks down, they would need some kind of bailout. Those lobbyists, there's been reporting that those lobbyists were hitting hard. And some of those 8 people that went along with this were basically defending the airline
industry.
Blame
Daddy Donnie. All we had to do, blame Daddy Donnie. Yeah. It's his shutdown. Sorry you missed your flight. I hope you didn't vote for Trump, did you? Sorry you lost your SNAP benefits. My favorite line is some guy, kind of cruel, was going out in a rural area back in the South, and he's seeing these huge lines of people in line for the food banks. And he goes, where's your red caps now?
Damn, that is harsh. Which actually that leads to, so Eric, sorry to cut you off real quick, but I'll say this because I think it's just the other piece of what I was saying. So number one, people, when you do an online search, Google metrics will show you approximately how many searches were done with what words, at what time of day, and in what geography. So there's a lot of analytics that people can comb through to try to take the pulse of, hey, people got their phones in their hands, they're online, what are they looking for now? It turns out that if you knock down the east wing of the White House, you get a little blip for a day or two, and then it goes down. It turns out if you have an ongoing campaign of ISIS authoritarianism, it gets a blip when there's a tragedy, but for the most part, it goes down and it's short-lived. But when you cut off 40 million people from food, it ripples in every community in the country, and it's not a blip. It's a very high number. People are looking for it, and they kept looking for it. And it lasted a very long time. There was literally, you know, it stood out in the data that really people hopefully put a light bulb on for people that you've got hundreds of thousands, millions of families that are going to really, that are living under duress, that they're not going to be able to put a Thanksgiving turkey on the table. I actually was at Winco where a lot of people on SNAP shop, and I saw people with turkeys, frozen turkeys in their cart when the SNAP was released because they didn't released when the funds were released because they didn't think that they were going to even have the money necessarily in 2 weeks for their Thanksgiving. So like that put it together.
I mean, that's where they had Trump over a barrel. He got caught lying about the fact that the food, you know, turkeys and the price of a turkey meal had decreased. And it was working against him. There's also, I didn't get the name of the person who did it, but there is there are some moderate Democrats who are upset because they said that this is going to lead to more Mamdani type challenges. For instance, Dick Durbin will probably face the primary challenge in his next election. I don't know if he's planning to retire, but or counting that maybe people would forget. And maybe they will forget if by some miracle Republicans' arms get twisted into providing those subsidies to keep the premiums down. But this is, Durbin is probably the most vulnerable of the eight. He's in a very liberal state where the governor is very popular because he's taking on Trump almost as intensely as Newsom is. And so he's the one that has to worry, you know, the King and the others maybe are in safer states that way. But I think Fetterman has to worry in general anyway. I'm certain there'll be a primary challenge against him. But he's been kind of doing this all year long. I think that the issue here also is John Judas points out that the polls had been in favor of the Democrats, but they were starting to turn against both parties, that there were going to be both parties were going to be blamed for the shutdown. And that if it extended into Thanksgiving, Democrats might even have more of the blame. I doubt that. I think that, you know, there is some people are going to say, okay, we can't have these political games. They should get along and work with each other. But I, like I said, I don't think the eight knew that they were going to get this kind of backlash against them. And it was, I mean, where you've got people in the House doing it, even Nancy Pelosi was outraged. You know, and she's like the centrist, the mainstream Democrat, usually is part of these things. And apparently,
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I keep coming back to her. When she's sounding sensible, my brain's about to explode. Oh my God. Because she's seeing what's going to happen to the ACA, what's called exchanges. If these subsidies don't go through, the Washington Post just had an article, people are going to see their ACA health insurance premiums go up by 50% to 200%. And when your monthly health premium goes from $800 to $2,400 a month, do you buy food? Do you pay rent? Or do you maybe drop your health care and hope you don't have any major health issue? Pray you don't have any major health issue. And that doesn't even include the deductibles. And then what's the other thing? The pharmaceuticals. It's going to get ugly.
Deductibles are increasing too.
What is?
Dave, we've only got a couple of minutes left for you. Do you want to add anything to this before we go on? We could talk a little bit about Epstein. I think we've...
Yeah, like that's a good, there's a good pivot there, which is the House has been in not in order for two months, in part, people say, allegedly, because this was a, people didn't want the Epstein files released. So the House just decided, let's not call to order. Well, now that they want to pass the budget today, that I think I saw that they did already do that. That means that they call to order. That means that they have sworn in Grijalva, Congressmember Grijalva, to replace her father. And therefore, they're going to do a discharge petition to force the hand of the House to reveal the investigation material regarding Epstein. And so what I have heard is that it takes a week from the actual initiation of that process to when true, you know, the whole file comes out. So Democrats did leak 3 smoking gun emails today that associate Trump with the whole Epstein conspiracy / imbroglio. But because it's not just a conspiracy anymore, now it's a full-blown mess. And now that there's so much evidence released, I don't know if you guys saw, but DropSite News, their investigatory efforts went to a cache of basically the equivalent of WikiLeaks, but it's called, like, instead of denial of service, I forgot the name of the hacks, the pirates that they go in and get these documents. But anyway, they got a cache of emails from Epstein that are obviously also part of the file, so that journalists could go through it last week and into this week. And they did 4 dumps and with little mini explanations. But basically, it shows that, you know, I'll let everybody read it for themselves, but that Epstein was actually an international man of intrigue that was making arrangements for leaders at the highest levels of many countries, including the United States and Israel and Russia and Mongolia and Sierra Leone. And there was a few other countries that were released on behalf of intelligence community business interests. And so this is actually a giant deal. And there's going to be a lot coming out. But the truth is that from our domestic political perspective, we want to know, is Trump implicated or is Trump not implicated? He, you know, jury's out on if he did anything illegal or wrong, even morally wrong. I'll leave that up to other people's sensibilities. But it appears from these emails that basically Jeffrey Epstein was involved in communications with a journalist about, do we blow him out of the water as a presidential candidate in 2016 election, or do we just use it as leverage forever? Basically, do we have this leverage blackmail forever? And so apparently he became president, and apparently the leverage existed for a while. But eventually, I think our civilization has been softened enough to this conversation. Nothing seems shocking. Nothing seems lethal. So I think that's where, you know, high level, this is all going to come out in the wash, and we're all going to have to check our values, moral sensibilities about whether these types of international intrigues deserve some criminal investigation or just shame, public shame and ridicule, and vote people out who are involved.
And Eric, what's the statute of limitations on sexual assault or statutory rape?
Federally, I'm not sure. In California, if you were a child, there is no statute of limitations anymore.
But so if any of these men did anything with any woman 17 or younger, they could still go after them 20 years
later.
In
California, I don't think the federal laws have changed that one, although these would be federal charges because it involved trafficking and the like and being part of it. I haven't had a chance to read the leaked emails. I think that they leaked them because Trump's name is mentioned in them. So
he's all over them. There's 23,000 emails that got released today. Guess whose name's going to be the most prominent?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so for him to just say, oh, he's just a guy I just happened to go to a party with one time, you know, no, it's not that. And so it does make people wonder, is there something more that's going to be leaked here, because it's just whetting the appetite. Levitt was expressed outrage that we're talking about restoring the government and you're talking about Epstein. And you know, this is the problem.
We keep talking about Epstein. Thank you.
Right. It's just,
we're not going to cover it up. And I think that's what the American people are upset about, is the fact it's being covered up. For years, when Joe Biden was in office as president, Kash Patel and Don Bongino, who are now the number one and number two at the FBI, they had podcasts and they talked on almost daily about the Epstein files. We got to release them unredacted. I want to know who these pedophile Democrats are. And somehow the name Bill Clinton and Bill Gates got in there, and the rumor mill went flying on the right side on the GOP. So now that Pam Blondie in February sat down and said, I've got the Epstein files right here on my desk and we're going to release them very soon.
That's
a couple weeks later, no, Epstein files are gone. There's nothing in them. We're moving on. There's nothing there. I don't think a single person in America believe that. And they all want to see, like you said, Eric, if I don't care which side of the fence you're on, if you did something bad to an underage minor, This country should shame you.
If Biden did it, then let the chips fall.
You should be shamed, period.
Yeah.
Once again, whether it's Democrat or Republican, go after them and shame them.
I think that at least from the perspective of left-leaning media, progressive media, independent media, and to a certain extent that horseshoe that wraps around to the, you know, sort of that online universe of opinion makers, opinion leaders on the right, the podcast folks, there's this interest right now in seeing this intersection of where, you know, network of people were involved and what type of leverage. So, for example, like I sort of dismissively said, well, maybe Epstein and his colleagues were discussing leverage over the President Trump before he became president. People are talking about this being a much bigger operation of similar leverage. And so the question is, there's like the salacious stuff, like you said, Matthew, like obviously the criminality around people's, you know, illegal relationships, wherever they had them, planes, houses, other countries, wherever they were, that whole network, it's salacious and disgusting. But like people are also saying, but who did it and why did they do it? And is it really just like, is Jeffrey Epstein a bad apple, so to speak? No, it's not like that. He's part of a network, a coordinated network of people that were engaged in to some pretty awful things.
And we just want to know the truth. That's all. Unredacted. All right. Release the files.
It's after six, Dave. You probably need to move over. But thank you very much.
Good luck with the Democrats, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. These were two huge issues, so I felt obligated to at least scratch the surface with you guys. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about next week. Take care. Till next time.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Thank you. All right. So we've got a little more to say on the Epstein files because, you know, the people are saying, well, he was just named in it. You know, why is that important if it doesn't point to any criminal activity that Trump did? Well, first of all, he's been telling a tale about how he barely knew the guy, right?
Or his best friend for 10 years.
Yeah. And secondly, you know, if you're that close, you must have some idea it's happening. So either he's lying and he did know, and this is assuming he didn't imbibe in the criminal activity. Let's just assume that. Then he knew what was going on, and that's bad. Or he didn't know what's going on, and he's totally clueless. And, you know, that he had to have looked the other way. It just doesn't look good, no matter what you say about it.
I'm sorry, but if my best friend's in his 40s, and he's constantly going out with a teenage girl, am I going to notice that? Yeah, I think anybody would. If he has a different teenage girl every month, be kind of going, dude, you got a problem here. What's going on? This isn't right.
He was on the Epstein plane numerous times. So, but most importantly, why is he putting intense pressure on the, what is it, four Republicans, five Republicans who are doing this? We've got Massey and several women, I think.
Marjorie Taylor Greene's one who's pushing against him.
Boebert. Nancy Mace was the other one.
She wants to run for Senate in Georgia, and he told her no. And I think she's just going to run an independent campaign. Just people in Georgia love you. Screw you, Trump.
Right. And so you've got this intense pressure. And I think the weak link is Boebert. And so they're hoping to pressure her into changing her vote. But why, you know, the desperation is wild, even with this leak. Now, I don't know why the Democrats didn't leak some other stuff, but apparently there's plenty here to chew.
23,000 emails. Let's start to get through them and then release the other ones.
Yeah. And again, you know, what are they hiding? Well, maybe it's donors. Maybe it's friends of Trump or friends of other Republicans.
Maybe it's major political people.
Well,
like Dave was alluding to earlier, if it's a president of whatever country or prime minister of this country.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that some people have said is a silver lining for the Democrats, you know, is that this happens because otherwise it was rumored that Johnson was going to keep the House shut down till January.
I heard that.
Yeah.
And by the way, men are perverts. Many of them are. And if they did something this stupid, I want their names to come out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, these are children. This is why this is like the first wedge issue that's actually affected MAGA unity. Because no matter how crazy you are, you still love your children. Right.
Now, here's the crazy thing, Eric. One of my good friends is right of center. I have no idea where he gets his news. We try not to talk politics at all, especially if he's been drinking. But I thought the Epstein files came up this weekend, and he just went off about this Democrat and that Democrat. I looked at him and said, you know whose name is most prominent and who was Epstein's best friend for 10 years? He goes, who? And I go, Donald Trump. Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm like, where do you get your news? Epstein's on video saying Donald Trump was my best friend for 10 years. And when they asked, did Donald Trump meet any of the girls you were with? He said, I take the fifth.
Yeah.
On video. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. But he always tries to write that off as, well, I'm the stable genius who makes use of bankruptcy, so I'm going to make use of the Fifth Amendment to my advantage. And it's like, well, then why is it to your advantage, Don? You know, just Donald, you obviously, you know, what is it to your advantage? It should be great for you. If it's all Democrats in there, you should be taking them down. Why not? It's just, I mean, there has been, Biden didn't do anything with it for a few years. So it's probably going to take down a lot of people that are in both camps, and some who are literally in both camps individually, major donors. I mean, this could actually be instantaneous campaign. If all the major donors are of dark money are taken down, it's only temporary because others will come to fill in that spot. But this could be have that effect. You know, it's just so. I mean, this is the, you know, part of the silver lining. They had to put her in, and now she's in, and now that vote's going to happen.
Good.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, let the chips fall where they may. I think most exactly. Americans want to believe in the truth, whatever that may be.
Right. I mean, and maybe a whole bunch of people will lose their power, whether they're in politics or heading up some corporation. You know, I mean, it's just it's ridiculous that it's to this point. And, you know, we have to ask all the questions. Why is Maxine Giswell getting special treatment now? You know, I mean, it's just they were talking about a pardon, but apparently his advisors have backed off of that one, backed him off of that one. No, it is just really bad.
So I just have to say this again. I have seen more pictures of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein than I have of Donald Trump with Melania. What does that tell you?
There you go. That brings us on to a third topic, because there actually are a couple of other topics if we start to run out of time here. But the gerontocracy of it, you know, there's pressure on Chuck Schumer to resign. Chuck Grassley is a Republican. Nancy Pelosi is finally retiring. But, you know, but it's like, why do these people go in? And there have been senators that have gotten in over 100 years.
Strom Thurmond stayed till he was 100.
I mean, it's like we talk about kings. Well, okay, they're just sort of minor fiefdom kings, but they're in there as if they're entitled to this. I mean, you know, the average age in Congress is dropping as we speak, because
except for the Democratic geriatrics.
Well, no, when Dianne Feinstein died and somebody else left,
she wouldn't have left. She was another one that had some. Trying to be politically correct here, some mental acumen issues.
Yeah.
President Joe Biden, he said in 2020, I'm going to run for one term and that's it. And all of a sudden in 2024, he's running again. And we're going, dude, you're how old? Yeah. And then he did the first debate against Trump and the Democrats went, oh, Jesus, there goes this election.
Yeah. I think the only reason that the debates went well in 2020 is Trump just kept interrupting him. You know, so
and he was much more there in 2020.
He was much more there.
He had a decline, and he could
deal with it with just the one-liners. You know, will you shut up, man? Became like, right. There you go again. And
I
gotta
say one thing: Fox News went and attacked Joe Biden and all his cabinet and his people around him, saying you knew this guy had some mental decline. What are we going to say when it comes out that Trump has mental decline and everyone around him covered? He goes on to talk and he starts slurring and going off in whatever direction. No one has a clue what he's talking about. It's an embarrassment to our country, unless you're part of MAGA, which you can't. Hey, look, he talked about sharks and whatnot. Isn't that great? No one knows what he's talking about.
No, it's right. And that's been true. I mean, he's always said crazy things, but it's really getting bad. Like when he wandered around with the Japanese prime minister and when he started talking about magnets and confused the whole damn crowd.
He's turning 79 this year. If he runs for re-election in 2028, he'll be 82. And but, my prediction is if Trump somehow gets on the ballot in 2028, Barack Obama is going to be called out of retirement.
But you know who else? I've talked about this a few weeks ago. I don't remember if it was with you or Dave or both of you, but I just tried it again. Go on to Google and Google Donald Trump dementia. Somebody there is covering for him because the AI doesn't come up. You can do AOC dementia and some discussion will come up. No, there is no indication of dementia on the part of AOC. But Google, you type it up and you get some, you know, Wikipedia and people and the rest, but the AI won't touch it. That has to be deliberate.
And can we just have some names and numbers here? Nancy Pelosi's retiring. She's 84. Probably should have retired 10 years ago. Love Nancy, but here's the problem. The younger blue crew cannot move up. If you're a Democratic up-and-comer, whether you're a city councilman, some big mayor, or you get on the state legislature, you can't move up. You're stuck.
Yeah. No.
Bernie Sanders, 84. Chuck Schumer, 75. And Chuck should have retired when he hit 65. Time to go, Chuck.
I mean, Chuck is just, he's never been all that impressive. He just kind of got in there with seniority. He's never been particularly effective. They need some new blood in there. I don't know who would be up. I think it would be Durbin, but I think there's going to be a reaction to that if he does. But right now, the press, and again, some moderates are concerned. You're going to have a Mamdani person running against Durbin in the primaries and possibly win. I mean,
and
you
they
know,
this is that against Dianne Feinstein. She just got too old. It wasn't that have, it was a cognitive decline.
They did have some Democrats running against her. I'm forgetting the guy, Billy Royce, was it him? Or one of the guys, Latino guys down in Los Angeles, but he didn't win. But they did run against her. And this is going to happen. And like I said, we've got a whole year before 2026, but a couple of those senators come up in 2028. Are they all planning to retire? I don't think so. I don't think Fetterman's planning to. So, but Fetterman's bet not up until 2030. And like I said, he's got his own cognitive issues that are coming into question. So he may not. What's that?
Fashion issues. You can't wear a hoodie on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah. I don't know if he's done that for a while, but he does wear shorts to press conferences. And, you know, it was, but he, that type of thing he was doing even before the stroke. That was his, you know, iconoclastic way. But I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about this. I can understand possibly the two people in Nevada, they face tough elections, but they don't have to worry about it for a while, right? You know, I mean, it's just. Right.
Jackie Rosen was just elected in 2024. She's got six years.
And but I think Nevada's been hit hard economically. And so the shutdown was probably hitting it even harder. But, you know, that you do this, you weaken yourself to be able to oppose the tariffs.
Wait till people's medical health premiums skyrocket. And God forbid they try to mess with other aspects. January 2027, SNAP benefits are going to get cut. January 2027, Medicaid benefits get cut. So all this does is get SNAP through 2026.
They're hoping that they'll have at least a House back in 2026, which is very likely given the recent polling. Trump is, I think, down to 34% in the poll that I think came out.
He's got that high of an approval rating?
Yeah, exactly.
That I would have said down the 20s. God, the guy's awful.
And the Democrats have picked up on their popularity, both on the generic ballot and a bunch of them. I don't know if they're going to lose some of that after this week. But, you know, the Democrats that aren't speaking up against this are definitely going to possibly lose some ground. Because, you know, what people notice, a lot of the Republicans have been sort of rejoicing over how low the approval rating of the Democrats has been. What they don't understand is, there are different people who don't like the Democrats for different reasons. There are the people who don't like them because they're in MAGA and they want to see Donald Trump's agenda. And then there are the Democrats who just think they're ineffective. And
one of
this
them.
could add to that. So that's why they get the lower approval ratings. They just had it go up again, but maybe it's going to go back down again once this thing sinks in, unless they generate some results. And that might be why they're hammering on Epstein right now.
So the guy in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, who is a young Democratic guy, won against the old redneck sheriff there, mainly running on ICE. That was it. He says, we're tired of what, doesn't matter what community across the United States, we're tired of masked, named people showing up, grabbing people off the street and kidnapping them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's possibly why they lost a lot of the Latino vote. I think we discussed this as well after the election, but it's, but a lot of Latinos actually support a strong border, right? They want, they say, I came here the right way. They should come here the right way. Or we just need to secure it. But it just universally turned against him. Prop 50 passed in Fresno, which is a Republican stronghold, because they don't like the extremity of it, of the way it's being done.
I would say the Latin for Trump, you voted against your self-interest. You get what you voted for. I'm
right,
sorry
but
your cousin just got deported.
In California, even the slight majority of Republicans are opposed to the ICE policies that are going on, just because they're probably driving by as it happens and horrified.
And there's an amazing thing called a cell camera. And when they put that stuff out on YouTube, it's like, oh my God, they're tackling teenagers, tackling yeah. women, throwing them to the ground, four men jumping on them. It's horrific.
A district court judge in Chicago, by the way, just ordered the release of over 600 of the people that were caught up in that sweep.
Okay.
Yeah, and saying that, you know, first of all, you didn't have probable cause and to do it, and when it gets appealed from the immigration courts to the real courts, you're dealing with real law, and if you go after people and you don't have warrants or you don't have reasonable cause, judges are going to say, you know, it doesn't matter. The fruit of the poisonous tree, even if the person is guilty of a crime under the exclusionary rule. Evidence gets thrown out and you get released. Not only that, they're entitled to bond hearings that just aren't happening in the immigration.
I have to bring up one more point that happened this week. Sandwich man, the guy who threw the Subway sandwich at the ICE people, and they wanted to arrest him for a felony. Got the grand jury says, no, I don't think so. So they arrested him on a misdemeanor. He got not guilty. So now they have drawings of him all around DC of Sandwich Man throwing a sandwich. Because that's
And there's some aspects of law to that. And by the way, two grand juries rejected the felony. They just thought that was ridiculous.
Right. He didn't throw a brick, he threw a sandwich.
Right. And the other thing though is that federally the law for assault and battery is a little bit different. In California, you could be guilty of a battery, both civilly and criminally, if for a unwanted or non-consensual, harmful or offensive contact, right? So it doesn't have to necessarily harm you, but if it offends you and would offend a reasonable person, you can be criminally liable for that. Federally, you can only be criminally liable for harmful. For civil, it can be harmful or offensive. You can sue somebody for an offensive contact. But they were trying to, so what the prosecution was trying to do was to prove this was harmful because the sandwich exploded, right? And he could smell, and he tried to like fake tear testimony where I could smell the mustard and the onions, and some of the jurors were thinking, am I on Saturday Night Live? I mean, it's right. Just, you know, they were talking about that. On top of it, the sandwich didn't explode. There's a photograph of it on the ground afterwards, laying on the ground with the package
wrapper.
Still intact.
Still had the Subway wrapper on it.
Yeah, I mean, if the sandwich did explode, I'd have to wonder what Subway's putting in them. I mean, you know, it's just so you have this. So in California, he may have had a harder time with the acquittal because you can show that it was offensive. But all the way that the officer was trying to turn this into something that was harmful and then getting caught in a lie about the sandwich exploding. I mean, didn't they look at the photographs? It's just, you know, it's this is again the DOJ. You know, they all of the good lawyers are quitting the DOJ, and this is a real problem.
People do not like pathological liars.
No, no. If you lie in front of a jury, you lose it. I've been in the room on both sides of it when somebody got caught lying, and they just don't give you any benefit of the doubt whatsoever. You better have your stuff clear on it. They don't like their time being wasted. You know, they're being taken out of their lives. You know, sometimes they don't get paid for it. In fact, more often than not, they're not getting paid for that time. And then for you to get on the stand and lie to them, you know, about something big, that just doesn't happen. So, all right, we need to wrap this up. Anything left to say on these topics, Matthew?
Thought we covered them pretty good. I'd like to see some younger Democrats get in Senate and Congress.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rev. Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Hate to say it, it's time for some of these people to retire. You've had a great run. Go out with dignity.
All right. So why don't we move into... No, we did the gerontocracy.
We did shutdown and we did Epstein files.
Like how much?
Eric, I want to bring one more thing up with the government shutdown. There's
Wait a minute. Well, let's how much time do we have? All right.
Okay. I do want to bring up one thing, Eric, is with USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, one of their businesses they have there is rural lending, which... it's pretty much throughout the United States, but they do mortgages with zero down. I had a client who was about to go sign a loan docs, and we pulled up the website, and it says, due to the radical left, USDA is now shut down. And I'm like, what? And then we try to call, email them. It went radio dark. It's just an entire department that does mortgage loans across the nation shut down. So these borrowers who are literally waiting to get their keys in a few days, what do I do? And they're like, sorry, call your president.
Yeah. That's the other disappointment. There were some Hatch Act lawsuits in the process pertaining to those things that Trump was putting onto the official websites. You're not supposed to use government sites or the White House or anything for political views. What they're arguing is it's only for elections and not for politics in general, but that is definitely not the spirit of the law.
And we go through the airport, we have to see Kristi Noem out there saying, due to the radical left, they shut down your airport. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have videos just on loop over and over. And I look up and go, serious? Someone should go hack this thing and redo her words.
But I think those were backfiring. I mean, you know, that's the thing.
I think people understand what was going on.
Yeah, so... It boggles the mind. I mean, John Judas argues that they weren't going to cave back down. The Republicans were just not going to back down. They would ruin the whole country before they backed down on ACA because they've pledged to kill Obamacare, right? You know, so, but it's mind boggling as to that. I mean, even if it turns out to be a boon for the Democrats, it still doesn't excuse it. That and especially the timing of it. I mean, it's just, you know, have a public discussion about it. Say, you know, go to the public. Those eight senators should have gone to their own constituents and asked, do you want me to end the shutdown or not? They didn't. They did this, you know, just anyway.
You ever notice how the Republicans have discipline, but the Democrats all have to be independent?
Yeah.
The Republicans fall in line.
Yeah, the only Republicans that don't have discipline are the crazy people that are breaking off for Epstein, right? You know, I mean, that's just the only time you see it. And like you said, there's going to be enormous pressure on them. So let's say
Representative Thomas Massie, he's intelligent. And he actually goes after Trump because he doesn't like some of the stupid things he's doing. Marjorie Taylor Greene recently, she went on The View. Just, oh, my God. And she came across as sensible.
Maybe she's learning some things. Who knows? I mean,
she's running for statewide office. That's my football. I'll get to that when we come to predictions.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there's other stuff in the news, too, that are worth discussing. It's the shutdown, I think, kind of overrode everything. There's some interesting court decisions coming down. There was a discussion in the Supreme Court. Oh, by the way, the Supreme Court decided not to take up the gay marriage. The challenge,
same-sex marriage, right?
Kim David, that she was the famous clerk who became famous because she was refusing to honor the law and give licenses for marriage in her county. And she ended up being removed for that and getting in a lot of legal trouble and sued. And so she filed this suit saying it was a violation of my religion to force me to give them licenses. It's like, no, you can quit, right? You know, I mean, it's just, and so the Supreme Court opted not to hear it, which means that the lower court rulings in favor of the of universal marriage remain intact.
Did you happen to see President Trump on 60 Minutes?
I did not watch that interview.
CBS edited the footage, so I'm going to probably sue them for $20 million since I know that's going to be an easy victory there.
I know.
But it's just lie after lie after lie. In his mind, he just says what he believes, whether it's factual or not.
And he came unhinged at the end, and then 60 Minutes or CBS did exactly what Trump accused them of doing for Harris. I mean, you know, it's just,
they edited to make him look okay. But why is Trump still trying to litigate the 2020 election?
Well, that he's demanding that Congress take it up and investigate it. He's not wanting the DOJ to investigate it. No, they want to.
They already did in 2020.
Well, they did. I mean, you know, remember all the you know, undocumented immigrants that were supposed to be voting and they didn't find one?
Not a single one.
Yeah.
All the dead people have voted? Not a single one.
Not a single one. They found across the country 15 cases of voter fraud, usually somebody voting for a dead relative or husband or something like that.
Out of 160 million?
Yeah, exactly.
So one out of a million has fraud.
And 9 of those 15 cases were of Republicans.
So I think it's 1 out of 10 million. My math's off there. 1 out of 10 million votes is fraudulent.
Nope. No, and actually there is a group, they call themselves the Institute for Immigration Policy or some neutral sounding name, but it's really a right-wing group that's against immigration. And they have a list of all of the times that immigrants have voted, but only once in like the past 20 years has an undocumented immigrant been caught voting. Most of the others were permanent residents, some of them who did it just believing that they had the right to. You know, it was just a mistake, and the elections department messed up by allowing them to do it. But it's just, but there's basically one documented case of a quote-unquote illegal alien being caught voting in the past 20 years, since 2024. So it's just, I mean, you know, you would think if it was happening on a regular basis, but why would an immigrant take that chance? You know, you already got problems here. Why would you do that? How much do you have to gain by voting illegally with the risk of what it would entail? You know, automatic deportation, jail time up to 7 years. Why would they do that?
I mean, I argue this to my Republican friends all the time. If I'm an illegal immigrant, am I going to go commit murder, rape, assault, and sell drugs? No, I'm going to lay low and just get in my little life and try to have my children have a better life, since they're going to be citizens.
One of the things we're going to have to talk about on a later show is there has not been a drop in fentanyl coming into the country, according to some studies. And that is because fentanyl is not carried over backland and through the Rio Grande River or anything like that. It is sent through the checkpoints. So you can put up walls and militarize the whole border. The fentanyl is still going to come through. And we need to talk. I want to talk about that in detail, because over half of the people who smuggle fentanyl across through the checkpoints are Americans, and many of them are white. And so those people aren't being checked. You know, it's just at least not as intensely. Those are actually the people that were caught. And what they need is better training at the checkpoints. They don't need to have helicopters and all this kind of stuff following if fentanyl is the issue.
If the canines can learn to sniff for fentanyl.
And I don't know if that's the case or not, but fentanyl is either coming through the checkpoints or it's being flown in or taken in by boat. And that's how it comes. I was listening to an expert talking about it. He said, you'd be insane to send somebody through the backcountry with a backpack full. It's not even the risk of being arrested. It's a risk of a rival gang taking it. That's a lot of money in a backpack. You know, I mean, it's just... There's a lot that we need to start discussing, because we're about to learn as to whether or not the policy is there. Also, I've actually personally spoken to somebody who has left the country and returned illegally twice, gave me permission to say that without revealing the name, but it's not all that, or the border is not all that sealed up. He says, if you know the terrain, it's easy. And so, again, the wall isn't stopping it. What might lower it down is electronic surveillance, but that's expensive, more expensive than the wall in the long run. So it's just, but the wall, it was like the ex-president, I forget his name, of Mexico said. He said, you think Mexicans, we're so simple, we don't have ladders? You know, it's just, or we can't dig? So anyway, we need to have discussions about that. But we don't have the flood coming because we aren't honoring the asylum laws anymore.
And are we ready for predictions?
Are we there? Okay. This brings us to predictions. What do you have, Matthew?
I'm going to say not a single New Yorker is going to leave New York. Everyone on Fox News is saying, you know, millions of people are going to leave. One, if that happened, the price of apartments would actually go down and the rent would go down. It'd be great. Who was the crazy representative, the gay guy who was a pathological liar? Just got...
Santos.
Yeah, Santos. George Santos. He just said, I'm leaving New York. And Zoltar said, good, New York's already better. Thank you very much. So not a single person. Sean Hannity will still be there. The whole Fox News crew will be there. Not one of them is leaving, despite what they're telling you on their newscasts on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the Democrats that used to say, I'm leaving the country, and most of them don't, you know.
Left when George Bush was elected for the second time.
Say that stuff. It doesn't do you any good. It makes you look dumb. And also, if a million people left, as you say, yeah, one of his main campaign promises would come true right away.
That would actually come true.
Dropped. All right. My prediction is I actually think that the backlash is really strong and that the pressure is going to be put on Democrats to actually get those subsidies for ACA preserved. And my prediction is that we're probably going to have another shutdown again in January because they can't do it in the end, because they're going to snap benefits are going to last for a year.
And I'm going to do one step further on that. If the political parties, Republican, Democrats, cannot come to an agreement on the ACA subsidies and people's health insurance premiums goes up 50, 100, 200%, they're just going to vote you out of office. They don't care what political party you're with. You failed the United States. You failed our citizens. Bye.
We'll see if any of that comes true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.